And now, back to Lee Elsie on 94.9 News Now.
All right, so we have a very special half hour coming at you. And if you guys want to call in, you can, 860-464-9490. In the studio with us right now, state representative and congressional candidate, Mike France. And listen, I'll let Mike do the honors. You brought a very special guest along with you, right?
Absolutely. Good morning, Lee. How you doing?
What's going on?
Living the dream.
I mean, you look sharp. You look like you just walked off the cover of GQ.
Wow. That's the best thing you've said to me in...
Ever.
No, it's great to be back on the show and amongst the listeners. And, yeah, we do have a great guest here. Congressman Greg Murphy from North Carolina has come up to support the campaign. And I've been going around and getting to know him and having a great time. So it's been a great opportunity to have him come up here and support the campaign.
Yeah, it's my honor, Mike. And I'm a first-term, I'm kind of redshirt congressman. I came in a special election in September of 19. I'm a surgeon by trade and fell into politics about 6 years ago. But I'm on the recruitment team for the Republican caucus for the House, and we're kind of honestly whittling out good candidates and some ones that may be not quite as good. And Mike is the top, the cream of the crop, and we want his to come in D.C. when we take back over the House. And so we're looking forward to it.
So I got to ask you, I mean, you know, doing what you've done, surgeon, et cetera, I always ask this question of folks because a lot of people sort of wonder why people end up getting into politics. Why would you want to jump into the circus of politics?
I get asked that question a lot, and my answer is, hell, I don't know. But about 6 years ago, I was minding my own business. Our state rep resigned in the middle of his term. And honestly, you know, I'd always been a dutiful Republican. I've always voted, but never really got into things politically. And I was asked by community leaders and some other folks to fill that vacancy.
Right.
To be very honest, I had no interest in doing it whatsoever. But my wife and I talked about it, prayed about it, and I jumped in because I was the only physician that would be in the whole General Assembly of North Carolina. And medicine is a big deal, healthcare. And so I jumped in and did that. And then a few years later, our congressman, with whom I had a good friendly relationship, was going to retire. And he asked me to prayerfully consider running for that spot, you know, a bunch of other folks too. And I said I would, but that would be a year later. But sadly enough, he passed away about 3 months after that from ALS. And so, boom, 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 17 Republicans in a runoff and 26 total candidates. And a few months later.
Are you 26 candidates for the one spot?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my.
It was, a goat rodeo. You know, you come up for candidate forums for 17 Republicans. And 3.5 hours later, like there are 4 people left in the audience. And so, so it was good. And, you know, it's been my honor to serve. But here's the thing that's hitting us right now is that the country in the last 14 months, you literally could not written a playbook for the destruction of the country greater. You know, Biden came in and said, I want to be a unity president. I want to pull things together. And he's done anything but. He's been the most divisive president, in my opinion, my humble opinion, that this nation has ever seen. And he's brought the nation to the brink of utter collapse in some ways. And so now we look and say, how can we make our way back? Because we know that middle America, especially, who determines some of these real national elections and statewide elections, middle America is where it counts. Middle America, which maybe didn't like Trump's emotions, didn't like his feelings or whatever, did not go with him in the last election. But they're resoundingly coming back to the Republican fold because they want to be able to know what their kids are being taught in school.
Right.
They don't want to have it shoved down their throat. And having good quality candidates in this wave is what's so critical. So that's why, you know, Mike is here. That's why I'm up here supporting Mike. And we need a France in the USA.
Listen, I think Mike's one of the best. I think he's if I have a question about anything that I'm supposed to know, I ask Mike. Right. So, and Mike, if he doesn't know immediately, which is rare, he finds out. Which again has a bunch of admirable other qualities as well. But I wanted to ask you another question before we get, you know, back to more Mike stuff. Are you being new at this? So semi new. Have you been shocked at the ineptness of some of the politicians that surround you? I mean, I watch some of the folks on national TV. I watch the way they answer questions. If there's not a script, they have no idea what they're talking about. Yep. It's scary.
It's very scary. I mean, you go back and if you really want to shake your head, There was a Democratic member of Congress a few years ago that was very concerned that a lot of people were moving to one side of the island in Pacific, that it was going to topple over. And I tell you, the Secretary of the Navy, he won an Oscar for not literally bursting out laughing. And so, yeah, you look at some of the ineptitude. But then if you look at the Cori Bushes, the AOC, the Rashid Tlaibs, Ilhan Omar, the squad people that literally hate this country.
Agreed.
That literally hate this country. That's not ineptitude. That's I don't want to, you know, I'm trying to be Christian in my attack.
All right.
But it's
sinister.
Sinister. I'm trying not to say the word evil, but it's sad. It's not American. I just came from Israel two and a half weeks ago, where there are a lot of differing views about how to do this, do that, but they all love their country, and they care about being an Israeli nation first. Instead, our Democratic Party cares about which gender you are, which race you are, whether you're right-handed, left-handed, left-footed, first, rather than being an American first. And it's good to have people like Mike that care about being American first. So,
no, it's right. It's exactly right. And we're seeing the country going the wrong direction. And as Congressman Murphy pointed out, the divisiveness of the policies of the Biden administration started on day one. Literally walked away from the inauguration and started signing executive orders. And those executive orders, in fast succession, within 2 weeks, literally turned the country on its head.
Right.
And we have seen the results of those things. And when you look at whether it's the policy of immigration on the border, southern border, where you're looking at energy independence, you're looking at our military profile, all of that, with the statements that the Biden administration, from the president on down, have made, put us in a position of weakness. And that gave the opportunity for things like what Putin's doing invading Ukraine. And Afghanistan was a key point in that. You know, when you look at the retreat from Afghanistan and not listening to leaders, both in the military and in political advisors, that decision indicated this tremendous weakness on the part of this country and a lack of will to serve and protect freedom around the world. And that is something that is a hallmark of our country. And when you look at that, and you look at Joe Courtney and his statements, he made a statement in April when, you know, Biden took his political hat on and he said, I want to be out in 20 years, wanted the anniversary in the political realm of moving out of Afghanistan. He assured the people of Connecticut, the people of the 2nd District, that he wouldn't make sure there was a power-sharing agreement, that the people of Afghanistan would not see the destruction and the lack of freedom that they had grown accustomed to. And none of that happened. And then when there was a statement afterwards, and President Biden took the entire weekend to sit there and gather his thoughts, I guess, then Congressman Courtney comes out with essentially a statement that has said, you know, thank you to the military for 20 years, but dealt with nothing about the debacle and the strategic loss of that Bagram Air Base and the foothold we had in supporting a friend now in Afghanistan, or was.
Congressional candidate Mike Francis with us, along with Congressman Greg Murphy from North Carolina. And I can't thank them enough for coming on here. And Mike, you just talked about something we've been talking about forever with the Afghanistan retreat. And, you know, it couldn't have been handled worse. Impossible. You're in Washington, Congressman. I mean, did you guys foresee this quick escalation in Ukraine from Putin? Did you see this happening? Was this something you guys talked about?
Yeah. I mean, Lee, we got together, I guess it was 6-8 weeks ago, as a bipartisan caucus in our big congressional auditorium. And Secretary Blinken was there, Alston, Milley, Secretary of Interior, everybody was up there. And we talked about the fact there were 120,000 troops on the surrounding Ukraine and what we were going to do about it. Well, the big difference between Republican and Democrat at that point in time is the Democrats wanted to just kind of wait and see. If they invade, then we'll give them stuff. If they invade, then we'll do sanctions. And the Republican mantra at the time is, why the hell are we not doing it now to prevent something?
Right.
You prevent problems. Again, I'm a surgeon. I like to prevent problems from happening rather than treat problems. And no, Blinken pushed back. No, we're just going to wait and see. We don't want to cause him to do this. He's going to do this anyway. The man's an evil despot. There's a special place in hell. I'll just say it there, Lee. There's a special place in hell for him for the damage and horrible tragedy that he's put forth on on a peace-loving nation. And so, yeah, we saw this. We saw this coming. And if anybody sticks their head in the sand, they won't understand that this is President Xi in China has been watching over and if not collaborating with Putin this entire time, because he has his Russia has designs on regional dominance. They want to get back the old Soviet Union. China wants its designs on world dominance.
Right.
And they're in every segment and on every continent. So, no, it doesn't take we have the idiots on the left side that are just like messengers and screamers and care more about your pronouns than really true policy. But the Republicans understood this,
right.
and folks like Mike understood this, and this is why we need him. This is why we need him to come up to Congress.
No, absolutely true. And it's interesting is that last summer, before the Afghanistan retreat, I was asked the question, "What's the number one foreign policy issue?" And immediately I said it was the triangulation between Russia, China, and Iran. And now you add the moderating variable of the U.S. retreat from Afghanistan, which was basically a firewall, if you will, against Pakistan and China. And immediately as we left, China was in Afghanistan. Why? Because they wanted the rare earth metals, amongst other things. And then the New York Times a couple of weeks ago had an article that said the Biden administration went to China in December, sharing intel and asking them to get involved to prevent Putin from incursioning to Ukraine, and thinking they're our friends, and they're not. What happened was the Chinese went right to Putin and gave him the intel, and they knew what we knew, at least what we shared with the Chinese government. These are the missteps. And then, of course, you look at right now, what are we doing? We are negotiating with Iran to get oil because we refuse to use the resources that we have in our own country. And who's representing us because Iran won't talk to us? Russia.
Right.
What sense does that make?
None.
And then you add on top of that that we're still buying oil from Russia, funding the war on Ukraine. And all these things are the ineptitudes and the lack of understanding of how the world is set up and who our friends truly are by the Biden administration. Joe Courtney has been silent to all of this and kept his head down. And that does not serve the people of Connecticut or Eastern Connecticut well.
Is it safe to say that the Biden administration prioritizes the Iran nuclear deal above this Russia incursion, because otherwise we would stop, I would assume, buying Russian oil, correct?
Well, the Biden finally, right, after massive political pressure, has put forth a ban on Russian oil.
Right.
Well, what are we doing? We're turning to, just as Mike said, Iran and Venezuela to get this. And I was, I was over in Israel 2 weeks ago. Iran is the sworn enemy of Israel. Iran, when the Biden administration allows them to get a nuclear bomb, let's be very clear about that. Trump would have never allowed them to do this, but they're 90% there the way.
Yeah.
And and Biden will be complicit then in the destruction of Israel if Iran gets the bomb. So,
all right, so we are where we are now. You've got Russian troops surrounding Kyiv and bombarding it, women and children running for their lives. We're watching that on nightly news like it's a movie. Are we going to let him just get to the Ukrainian border, and then if he stops, everything will go back to status quo and everything will be great in a couple of months, a couple of years? Or are we going to do something to stop some of this stuff?
Yeah, there are different things of doing to stopping. The great thing is the Ukrainian people have risen up, and Putin totally underestimated them, the wherewithal and the essential, the fact that they're not going to let their country be taken over. We supply them arms. We supply them food. We do everything they can. Ukrainians can do it. Ukrainians can do it because the Russian army has turned out. I hate to use this term lightly. I mean, I don't use this term lightly, but either for lack of planning or whatever, they're turning out to be a little bit of a paper tiger. So, yeah, they have the ability to take over Ukraine. Are we going to allow them to push it past their borders? Hell no. That's right. Not going to happen because Poland's on one side. You've got Latvia, Lithuania, on the other side. Those are NATO countries, and that will not happen. I think personally, this is a drawn-out struggle. And, now Putin has just been basically putting martial law back in Russia, and it is back to the Cold War Soviet days of what happens in Russia. If you say anything, if you use the word war in Russia, you can now be imprisoned for up to 15 years. So, these are dark times. I hate to say those words, but it's reality. These are dark times for freedom. And if we don't have folks like Mike stand up, good folks stand up and care about this country, then we're in a bad way. So the Ukrainians have been had 30 years of independence. Mm. We've had 250 plus. It can go away, as Ronald Reagan said, in a generation. So,
no, exactly right. And I think that the reality we see played out and the lack of logistic planning that was done by the Russian military really goes to the underestimation of the resolve of the Ukrainian people and their president, frankly. And you see where they probably, the generals told Putin, 2 to 3 days we'll be in Kyiv and you'll be done. And right. then, you know, no need to do anything. And exactly the opposite happened. The Ukrainian people stood up for their country, stood up for freedom, and fought back valiantly and have done well. And what we're seeing is what a despot does, what a dictator does, what an oppressive leader does. He attacks the civilians. You know, when you bomb a women and children's hospital, as an example, you know, those kinds of things are not appropriate in war, but they are when you are put back into a corner and things aren't going your way. And I think the other thing that we're learning, once again, as you pointed out, the seeing this war on social media.
Right.
You know, if we think back, the Vietnam War was the first war we really saw on nightly news. This is the first war we're seeing in live, real time.
Right.
And what we're observing is truly the resolve of a free people and standing up for their own country, and a misstep by Putin, who is trying to return to glory of past times in his mind, I'm sure. And that misstep, frankly, is leading him to be in a desperate position, because now his credibility is on the line, and where will he go? And that goes back to the point of, we didn't do things ahead of time to indicate our resolve to do anything. We waited to react.
Right.
And those are not, that's not how you prevent action by somebody else. You need to give them an indication that you are serious about something. So an example, instead of waiting till afterwards to take back Nord Stream 2, do that first and say, if you continue, here's the next thing, but you've now indicated resolve in one thing so that your next step is actually believed.
So I blamed everybody this morning, everybody listening, for what's happening, because it's their fault for voting in the same people over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You can try to push it off on other folks, but when you keep pulling the lever or pushing the button or filling in the circle for the same names because you recognize them, then you got to expect the same result. So I'm glad, Congressman, that you're here with Mike, and I'm glad you're supporting him, because we've been a fan of Mike for a long, long time, and we think he's going to make a great congressman.
Well, I understand why you're a fan. And, I think for the first time in a long time, you guys are very, very fortunate to have a high-quality candidate
right.
running against a Democrat that hadn't done anything for Eastern Connecticut in quite some time. But I will tell you this, the emotion of the country is moving favorably for us, but that doesn't mean anything unless people get out and actually vote.
Agreed.
So
agreed.
I've said this a couple times. I've said this for several years. You make sure, if you really care about this country, that you vote, but you get 25 of your friends to vote also.
Right. So what are you guys doing together? You guys just rolling around the state of Connecticut today? What you got going on, Mike?
Yeah, we're meeting a little later today with leaders in the Mohegan Tribe, and I'm going to talk to them. And we're planning to meet with Rodney Butler there, but he had somebody took him away this morning, so we'll follow up with him later. And then we'll be down in Mystic at Go Fish at 1 o'clock for a gathering of people down there as well.
All right. Well, listen, what's your website, Mike? Get everybody out there so they can go to it.
VoteMikeFrance.com. And you can go out there and sign up to volunteer, sign and invest in the campaign, and help us take back our country.
All right. I was thinking about primarying you, but now I'm not going to. So
I appreciate that, Lee.
Mike, what was that website again?
The website is VoteMikeFrance.com.
VoteMikeFrance.com.
You got that written down, Congressman?
Doing it. Right, I think folks need to take the time and do it themselves. VoteMikeFrance.com.
If you're driving, maybe pull over right now. What was it one more time?
VoteMikeFrance.com. Reminds you of what you need to go do, as well as a great resource.
Guys, thanks a lot. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate it. Nice meeting you, too, Congressman.
Yeah,
I appreciate
great.
That very
nice
much.
To see you.
All
thanks,
right,
Lee.
You got it. All right, we'll take a break. Top of the hour coming up. Former State Senate candidate Brendan Saunders will be here in the studio as well. Stick around.